Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Ali Moreno, Frank Lippus, Shaka Hislop and Gab Marcotti. He'll be joining us shortly. He'll be discussing those latest quotes from Paul Pogba. We'll start there in the Nations League. Belgium taking on England. England are out. Well, they won't make it through to the semi-finals as they lost 2-0 against Roberto Martinez's side. Tielemans and Dries Mertens proving to be the difference between the two teams. Just taking a look at how the group stands. England suddenly third. Denmark in second after their 2-1 victory over Iceland. It will be all down to that Denmark-Belgium game then midweek as to who will qualify top of the group. I just want to remind you, and this is real. People get quite angry at me when I put this up. This isn't ESPN FC odds. This is an English odds. These are the odds that the bookmakers are currently giving on who's going to win Euro 2020. And according to those bookies, who aren't me, England are joint favourites, along with France and Belgium. Germany at 7-1 alongside the Dutch and Spain. Let's welcome in, shall we, then, Gab Marcotti, Frank Lebeuf, and Shaka Hislop. Frank, on that showing yet again from England, it's very difficult to put up an argument, isn't it, that they're anywhere near the favourites for the Euros next summer?
I have to agree with what you said, Dan, because if I'm not surprised to see France second place, I'm a little bit surprised to see Portugal not being close to the first place with the game that I watched yesterday. Clearly, you know, when I watch Belgium against England today, we are we have to drop from one level, considering to what I saw yesterday. Portugal are completely ahead of even Belgium, if we don't talk about England. So I don't agree with the English odds and how they can put England in the first place. They dominated the game in the second half, but really, the level, technically, what they can do with the ball, what they can do without the ball, is still a question mark for me how they can be in the first position.
Gab, why are you shaking your head? What's wrong?
Well, no, I mean, I think, well, two things. I mean, one is bookies' odds often reflect what the markets say and where people are putting their money on. So that often explains why England and Manchester United and clubs like that are often shorter than others would like them. But I think with England, people are kind of projecting forward a little bit. They weren't that bad tonight against Belgium, who are a very,
Gab, they
very
could have played,
good side.
They could have played another 90 minutes and not scored. That's quite bad, isn't it? Because they're supposed to score.
Possibly, but in the end, they were beaten by a tremendous free kick and a double deflection. And I think with Sancho in there contributing from the start, with Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, the real Trent Alexander-Arnold, with Sterling in there, the real Raheem Sterling, I think a lot of people feel it's a different story. There's still a ton of issues at the back and in central midfield, absolutely, possibly in goal as well. But, you know, nobody out there is any great shakes right now.
I thought France were excellent yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think Frank's right to compare the quality that we saw in that France-Portugal game to what we saw today. And I understand a couple of key players missing for England, mm-hmm. but France are playing without Kylian Mbappe, so let's not give them too many excuses.
Or Belgium without Eden Hazard.
It is a different level of football.
It is. And I think what we have to understand when we watch England play is they had a lot of the possession. But why did they have a lot of that possession in the second half? It's because Belgium didn't really feel threatened by it. Okay, yeah, have the ball. Oh, yeah, Jack Grealish dance on it, step on it. Great, fantastic. But are you effective with it? Are you doing something with it? Are you efficient with it? No. No real threat. In fact, when you look at the real chances in the second half, even though England had most of the ball and had most of the possession and they were parked in the attacking half, the real good chance fell to whom? Romelu Lukaku. On the one play that actually Belgium went forward. And so it gives you an idea that Belgium didn't really need to do much more than what they did. They were up to nothing and say, okay, they can't break us down. We're just going to sit here, and if we catch them on a counter, we make it 3-0. It's good night. Take care. See you guys later. England, once they get into that final third, become very limited and absent of ideas.
England overhyped, as always, Shaq.
Yes, but I thought England were better today, Sydney, than the scoreline suggests. Keeping in mind that
How can they be better when they didn't have a real shot, Shaq? The one shot came from Harry Kane in the first half, and that was it. How can you have all that ball but not test Courtois in the second half? You can't say that they were better than the suggests.
Listen, it's international football. It's not club football where you're going to have 24 shots in a game. Harry Kane had one cleared off the line in the second half. Mount flicked one through to Harry Kane that he had trouble digging out and ended up putting it straight at Courtois. You know, 5 times out of 10, you think that net is in the back of the net with Harry Kane. It's international football. Chances are more limited, and you have to take them. Again, to your initial question, I don't think England are favourites. And yes, they're overhyped in that regard, but they're not anywhere near as bad as you're making them out to be here. Nor do I think they're anywhere as bad as the 2-0 scoreline suggests, is my point. With Rashford and Sterling, it gives them a different look if they want to play on the counter-attack. And I think the emergence of Grealish, again, gives them something that they hadn't had before.
Looking at Belgium's prospects, Gab, how would you rate their performance going forward, looking ahead to the summer?
I was really impressed with Belgium. I agree with what Ali said, and I think this kind of shows the evolution of Belgium under Roberto Martinez. And this was a team that we'd seen them in the past. They played good football, they played open football, and so on. But there are certain games when you get on a lead, and you're better off just kind of slowing the game down and picking your spots and looking to hit on the counter. I thought they did that very, very effectively. England took a ton of shots in that game. I think it was 14 shots at the end, something like that. But there weren't that many chances created against them. So I thought it was a very mature performance for Belgium, maybe a function of the fact that a lot of these players are older, but certainly I think more encouraging than some other performances. I think they look good.
Frank, overall, where do you put Belgium in regards to the context we mentioned, Portugal and France?
Well, still for me, comparing to that game, and it's only one game, and we are still far away from the tournament, the European Championship 2020, even if it's going to be in 21. I still have to drop from one technically. Also the way that you want when you have the ball, what you do with the ball. They have one fantastic player, is De Bruyne, and it seems to be that they're quite dependent. Even if Hazard is not there, they're very dependent of on the De Bruyne orders, let's say. They are absolutely a good team, for sure. Shaka said we are talking about England being bad. We don't say they're bad. We are comparing to France and Portugal. Don't forget that I talked about Portugal as well, because I think Portugal showed that, for me, they're above of England and Belgium right now. So Belgium have a chance to improve and be a real contender for the European Championship. But when we saw how much Portugal and France can raise their level, I can't say right now that Portugal, Belgium and England are the contender. It's impossible for me.
France were excellent yesterday in that 1-0 victory over Portugal. Paul Pogba key in that win. Interesting comments here from the Manchester United midfielder. This is a period the kind of which I've never experienced in my career. The French national team is a breath of fresh air. We're very happy to come here and all very happy to see each other again. It is not the same as with the club. We all group together. It is magical. We realise that everyone is happy to come, and that makes a difference. Frank, I want to start with you on this, because a lot of people go, why do FC continue to talk about Paul Pogba? Well, the reason we continue to talk about him is these sort of quotes, which I don't understand, Frank. Why does he come out and say this? Because what on earth does he have to gain on any sort of level by making this sort of statement?
I understand what he means. And Paul Pogba is a leader and he has to talk in front of the camera. And sometimes you forget that when you are singing with the national team, it's not going to be said maybe to the country when you, where you play week in, week out. And that's the main problem, the main concern that Pogba has with, and so many players had that problem. And I had that problem seeing stuff, you know, I shouldn't have said when I was with the national team. So you will have to be always cautious on what you say. And it's true that this can be very well interpreted. And I think it's going to be with Manchester United, you know, because meaning that he's, with, he's belonging to a group with France, which is not the case with Manchester United. We're going to have comparisons. And what he said, and what we have to understand is they're not sticking together at Manchester United where they are doing that with the national. And it's going to be the bigger problem that he has to resolve with Manchester United.
Gab, why are you shaking your head at me again?
No. I tend to agree with Frank. And look, we can go and we can turn this into, you know, this bad Pogba thing and start questioning about why United would want to extend his contract since he's such a bad egg. But I sometimes you just want people to answer questions honestly. He won a freaking World Cup with France, with these players, with these teammates. Of course he's going to feel better when he's there, as opposed to being at Manchester United right now where he's in and out of the side. You know, they haven't won anything under Solskjaer yet. If you want to go and interpret this as him causing trouble, him trying to diss United, you know, go ahead. I'm sure many will see it that way. But from what I can tell, that's certainly not how I read it.
We've all done, Shaq, am I being naive here? We've all done it. We've all saved to drafts on Twitter. You've got to think maybe now isn't the time. What have I got to gain by tweeting this out? I understand what he's saying is genuine, that he much prefers playing for France, that he's much more comfortable there. Obviously, he's had much more success. But why say it?
Listen, I think there are a number of things at play here. First of all, I totally sympathize with Paul Pogba, how he feels and what he said and maybe why and how he said it, in that I've been there. You look forward to going and playing with your national team, especially when you have the kind of relationships that you do. And as Gab pointed out, France are world champions. So just by virtue of meeting up with that team that won the World Cup, I think that there's a certain amount of a celebration to it. But speaking personally, I look forward to those international breaks more when I was not in the team, when I was struggling to find form. And I think that's what's weighing heavily on Paul here. That lack of form or being in and out of the Manchester United starting lineup, and then all of a sudden you're back home where you're with your friends, your teammates who won the world title, journalists who remember you as World Cup winners as opposed to being in and out of the Manchester United team. Paul Pogba's, well, one of his closest friends, both on and off the park, Antoine Griezmann, Sim Griezmann situation for him at Barcelona. So you understand how that release comes about and why in speaking to those journalists you say what you do, because for a moment that weight is lifted and you just say what's on your mind and it feels good to say it and you deal with the repercussions after. I think that Paul Pogba is prepared to accept that I'm going to say it, this is how I feel, it makes me feel better for now, I'll deal with the fallout when I return to Manchester. Mm.
The tone is a little hard done, Mark.
Dan.
Mm. Okay, go on, Frank.
Dan, I just want to add something. You know, I'm not sure. You know, if Paul Pogba would play the way he played yesterday with France, he would have played the same level, being very simple, very humble, you know, being very disciplined, would have been enough for the English press and for the Manchester United fans, because he wasn't the best. Kante was excellent. Rabiot was absolutely fantastic. And Pogba did the job. But only did the job, meaning that for Manchester United, maybe it wouldn't have been enough because of a lack of leadership. We didn't see Pogba like a leader yesterday. I saw Pogba doing the job, which was quite enough for what we want from him. And he was perfect in that role. Would have been enough for Manchester United and the English press? I don't know. I don't have the answer for that.
Is he picked on? Is he a victim here?
No, I wouldn't say he's a victim. He's brought a lot of this on himself. And in particular, when we talk about this quote, I sympathize with what Shaq is saying, what Frank is saying, what Gab is saying. I understand that it is a breath of fresh air to go to the national team. But you're going to have to go to Manchester. You're going to have to go back to Manchester because, see, the fresh air disappears. Yeah. And so this week will disappear, and you'll have to go back, and you're going to have to answer on this. And this is your daily job. This is your in and out. This is your bread and butter. The national team is not. The national team, it's a wonderful privilege to have as a player. And it's a great opportunity. And because it is a wonderful privilege, you appreciate it when you're there. But then you got to go back to reality. And you're going to have to deal with the fact that you are not a starter right now at Manchester United. And just because you say these things and it makes you feel better about yourself, just like Shaka just mentioned, it's not going to make your situation any better. In fact, I would argue that it makes it worse because it now creates an environment that was indeed worse than what it was when you left Manchester. Is that what you want? I don't think so.
Frank?
I agree with Ali. I think it's a mistake and it's an error to explain what you feel with the national team comparing to what you feel in the club. And it's true, it's the bread and butter. You know, you are paid by the club, you work every day with the club, and you have to represent the club. And saying that, you know, you betray in a way your fans and maybe your teammates. We all made that mistake again, and I'm sure that I did it and I regret it, and I'm sure Paul Pogba will regret it. And as Ali said, when he will go back to Manchester United, he will feel the power of the word that he put out in the press conference, and he will have to accept that and take responsibility for his actions.
Manchester United, of course, looking to get things going. They're in action on Saturday against West Brom as they'll be looking to lift themselves into the top 10 in the table.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Quite the explosive interview with Javier Bordas. You may not know who he is, and nobody really did until he spoke today. Now, he's a former Barcelona director speaking to Mundo Deportiva, and some extraordinary things coming out of the interview. Let's start off with this, shall we? We had the option of buying Kylian Mbappe for 100 million euros when we were pursuing Dembele, but the technical secretary preferred Dembele. The explanation at the time was that Mbappe plays for himself and Dembele plays for the team.
What?
Meanwhile, Haaland, let's just throw everyone in. Haaland didn't join Barcelona because the technical staff told me that he wasn't a Barca type of striker, that he was not a player with Barca DNA. The truth is that players come and you don't know how they will perform. Gab Marcoli, why is this all coming out now?
Gee, I wonder why. Because I think, you know, you love to scapegoat, you love to reposition yourself for the future. How much this guy knows about the option or this and that. So the Haaland thing, you know, to me just looks like stereotyping. Oh, look, the guy is very large and very Norwegian and short and very strong. So he's not a Barcelona type striker because the last time we had a big, tall Scandinavian here, nobody liked him, and that was Zlatan. Yeah. So let's go for somebody else, which is ridiculous stereotyping. Teams and their DNA adapt to the players who are there and who are around them. I don't even know where to begin with Mbappe. What I will tell you is a lot of clubs felt that they had an option on Mbappe, whatever that means. A lot of people thought that he was in the bag.
Imagine you're a Barcelona fan and this is coming out now. It's like, who, what, like anybody, yeah. Anybody who's played Football Manager would have chosen Mbappe, yeah. Surely.
You're better off not believing this. You're better off discrediting Bordas and saying, well, he's just saying this because he's a former Barcelona yeah. director, not a current Barcelona director. But if there is any truth in this, whoever is making this decision, boo!
Yeah.
Boo! Are you kidding me? If there's any truth to this, and the actual evaluation told you that Ousmane Dembele was more of a team player than Kylian Mbappe, and that's the actual reason as to why you picked Dembele over Mbappe, Man, the issues on Barcelona go deep, and I mean deep. This is incredible.
Shaka, you were saying before you agree with these decisions.
Yeah, right. I don't understand it. Listen, if you try to sell me on the Haaland one, you say, well, they're trying to replicate what they had with Neymar and Suarez, so it doesn't fit. I'm like, I don't agree with you, but you do you. But if you really try to tell me that in a choice between Dembele and Mbappe, you go with Dembele, what, for whatever reason it is you saw, I'm sorry. That's when the conversation has to end. That makes absolutely no sense. Doesn't know, didn't then, and I can't see how anybody goes with that.
Frank Leperf, your thoughts?
My thought would be the same as the guys. I mean, for Haaland, we don't know if we will fit, and I have the tendency to think yes, maybe. So let's say we can wait and see. But for Mbappe, I want the name of the technical secretary. I want to know what a technical secretary does in the club, and I want his name, because he has to get out. If it's really true what he said, and if it's true that he chose you know, Dembele rather than Mbappe, I want his name. And I'm on him out of Barcelona, really.
Working out well, though, isn't it, for Barcelona so far? Eighth in the table, already 9 points off Real Sociedad at the top. We saw wins for both Italy and the Netherlands today. Italy beating Poland comfortably by 2-0. Meanwhile, the Dutch registering their first victory for Frank de Boer with a 3-1 victory over Bosnia-Herzegovina. Let's start, Gab, with Italy's performance against Poland. This is as comfortable as a win you can really get in international football.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think you saw some of the same issues we've seen before up front in terms of the finishing, perhaps, with Belotti in there. Immobile, of course, unavailable. In fact, 20 players unavailable for Italy. But I think what has people excited is you have a midfield that moves the ball with players who are actually really good, like Manuel Locatelli and of course, Nicolò Barella. Not for the first time. That first goal, obviously, was a penalty. The second goal from Italy came on the back of a 27-pass move, which is just not something you're used to seeing from Italy. It's a testament to the job Roberto Mancini, who incidentally wasn't there because he tested positive for COVID, to the work that Mancini and his staff have been doing.
Meanwhile, Ali, Frank de Boer gets a win.
Hey! So everything is well. If only they played Bosnia-Herzegovina every single day. And even Bosnia-Herzegovina was giving them trouble, to the point to where the second half had a little bit of hanging on from the Netherlands. But what you saw in the first half is the reason as to why we are critical to Frank de Boer, is saying, look, you have the talent out on the field. And Dumfries is an option down the right-hand side. And Vindel is an option down the left-hand side. And Verhaeghe is going to tuck inside. And then he's going to get in behind as well. And then you have the freedom of Memphis Depay moving all over the place. And then he's going to create opportunities. Wijnaldum scoring goals. There's talent on this team. Everywhere you look, there's talent. And they're missing the players in the back that you would consider to be starters. And even then, you still have talent available. This is why, if you're Frank de Boer, you have to expect more from your team and the Netherlands, where it is fair to expect that this team is going to achieve great things. But it's Frank de Boer. Mm. And over the last couple of seasons, if you've seen this guy coaching, as we have, very closely, it's hard work to watch this team play.
So Italy in the driving seat then to qualify top of the group and make it through to the semi-finals with one match remaining in that group. Just a reminder, ESPN AFC with you throughout the week as, of course, we bring you everything you need to know about this final round of matches in the Nations League. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, the US are back in action tomorrow, taking on Panama. Never has so much been written about a 0-0 draw against Wales, but that's the current situation we found ourselves after that game midweek. Of course, everyone delighted that the US men back in action. And with it, Gab, obviously, a lot of people focusing on this new generation, this youth, many of them plying their trade in Europe, and the potential that this team has.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think it has to be more about potential, because ultimately you're not just playing Wales, you're playing Wales, you know, without their manager, Ryan Giggs, who admittedly he wouldn't have stepped on the pitch, but, you know, it's still got to affect you and it's a friendly and all this stuff. But I think it is legit to get excited. You know, there was Christian Pulisic there, obviously, but what you have is not just a load of talented young players, but you have a load of talented young players who are playing, I think, at high caliber teams. Or even the ones who aren't playing. You know, you look at Weston McKennie, well, gee, every time he goes to training, you know, he's training with Cristiano Ronaldo and Paulo Dybala and Bonucci and you know, whoever else. You know, this is at a very high level. Same thing for Sergino Dest. He goes out there in training, he's with a guy named Lionel Messi. Tyler Adams gets to work with Julian Nagelsmann. These things make a difference, even if, you know, not all these guys are starters or regulars on their team. So a lot of these guys are young, so there is a reason to get excited by it. Obviously, the question is, you know, will they continue to develop in this direction? And you want to chuck somebody like Musa into the mix as well, who, you know, I think he was eligible to play for about four different countries, but, you know, he chose the U.S. He's another guy who's getting on the pitch for Valencia. He's also in a good environment. So, yeah, I think there is reason to get excited, certainly more excited than we've been in a while.
Shaq, you've lived in the States. Shaq, you've lived time. You've seen many generations come and go. How excited should we be about this one?
I think very. What you like at the Wales game, and you know what I've think about, what I've thought about and said about U.S. teams in the past. A lot of those did, but I thought their egos got the better of them. I don't think the U.S. has ever been able to boast a team as talented as this one. In the squad, that only Reggie Cannon in the entire squad plies a trade in Major League Soccer. Everybody else playing abroad. And I think that brings a certain mentality with it. I've criticized U.S. men's national teams and their mentalities before. I don't expect to do that anytime in the near future with this lot. I think, rightly, every U.S. fan should be very excited about what's to come for quite some time.
Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. We'll be drawing many conclusions from that U.S. game against Panama. Be sure to join us. And then we've got some big games, of course, the final round of matches in the Nations League. On Tuesday, Spain against Germany, Croatia, Portugal, France against Sweden. And then on Wednesday, it's Poland against Netherlands, England, Iceland, that decider between Belgium and Denmark. And it's Bosnia-Herzegovina against Italy, the decider, of course, as to who will finish top of the table. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali, to Gab, to Frank and Shaka. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Stay tuned, though. Plenty of questions coming in for the boys. Extra time is next.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets in the studio. And everyone stayed behind. Frank, Gab, and Shaq are all here.
What?
So who amongst you would be the best for the role of manager, sporting director, PR manager, and throwing coach? At ESPN FC. Frank, which role would you like?
I don't know what a sporting director is, so I will pick that one. That one. Because I don't know anything about football.
That's like Leonardo at PSG.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. I pick the guy. I put them out. I'm the king of the club. Perfect.
Yes. Okay. You got the manager. Shaka, which role are you having?
I love you throwing coach.
Yeah, of course he will. The easiest one.
Yep, that's it.
Very good.
I like it.
Is that a full-time position or a part-time position?
So I'm going to give Gab.
Full-time.
Gab's got to be PR. You got to be coach.
Well, I'll take the coach. I'm not going to be PR. You know it.
I know.
PR is not going to work for me.
No, so. I think. Gab, have you ever been approached by clubs with your PR ways to come in and help things out?
The subject has come up. Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of secret.
I'm happy in my. I am delighted in my current position where I get to work with you, Dad.
Oh, that's the official statement.
Hey, he sat back, he fixed his suit and everything. He's like, oh. By the way, my team will be ready to play. I'll have my guys ready to play. They may be a little angry, but they'll be ready to play.
Ali, do you believe that this Argentina side under Scaloni has become defensively more organized than it was a few years back?
Yes, but a few years back, we're talking about a team that could not defend. So I suppose that if that's a standard, yes, a little bit better defensively, but I can also make the argument that they are worse offensively. So therefore, that's why you find an average Argentina team that hopes and prays that Lionel Messi does something special.
We go back to coaching. Here's one for you, Dan. Have you ever thought of managing a team? No, only on Football Manager, where I am fantastic. You look like an Aussie type of manager.
Well, yeah, you do.
Kind of. Baby face.
A little shorter.
Right, now, what do we reckon of these? Gab would be a Sarri type. Oh, Gab doesn't like Sarri. Don't say that. We can take that, Gab. No.
Why I gotta be Sarri? Why?
I don't know. Just smoke a lot. I don't know what it is. Shaka would be a Southgate.
No.
I don't know. Shaka in a waistcoat.
No. And Shaka, in order to be Southgate, there's got to be a lot of commitment. We're just not going to get that from Shaka.
No. Frank would be Frank.
I don't understand that at all.
Frank would be Frank. I assume Frank Lampard.
Or just Frank.
Yeah.
No, I think it's more Frank Lampard.
Really?
What he means.
Yeah, I think, again, we seem to have a common cause that there'd be commitment issues from you and Shaka for a full-time coaching role, I feel.
Maybe, yeah.
I see myself more Zidane-esque. I'm Zidane.
I think so, Shaq. Yeah, just get on with it.
That's what I'm going.
Just go and win me some trophies. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll be here.
More of a team
just
manager.
Take good throw-ins.
Yeah.
Make sure I take good throw-ins and we'll be good.
And Ali would be 100% a Hodgson type.
Wow. That's what people think of me.
Wow. What does it mean? What does that mean?
I don't think it's a compliment.
I don't believe it. Well, hey, my teams will be ready to play. That's what I'll tell you.
Okay, here we go. Shaka, Ali and Frank, what's your most prized possession of player jerseys exchanged after a match?
Frank obviously has shown us some of his collection before. Which is your most precious one, Frank?
You know that most of my jerseys are in the museum of the president of Stade de Reims, and so I think the one that I love the most is the Rivaldo one when he won the Ballon d'Or, and it was the 100 years of Barcelona. So we played in the quarterfinal of the Champions League, and I swapped the shirt with him. But today I have one that I can show it to you.
Oh, look at this!
So first, that one,
classic,
with the Champions League.
Yes.
Champions League. No, that one. So, sorry, Champions League. And the 100 years of Milan, I think it was Gabby, maybe say it. And it, a ledge, a real ledge.
Here we go.
Oh, look at him.
Wow.
Look at him. Hey, what's wrong with the quality of that shirt?
Champions League.
Does it still Champions smell? League. Does it still smell of him, Frank? How would you describe the scent, the musk?
Classy.
No. I washed it. You know, I don't trust.
No.
Even Maldini stinks. Even Maldini stinks when he sweats. No, come on. Everybody does, you know.
Even Maldini stinks. Oh, that's good. Shaka, what do you have to show us?
Isaksson from Sweden, 2006. Easy. That's the only thing I've ever done. I only played one game.
Yeah, but you played it quite well, Shaq. You kept a clean sheet in the World Cup when everyone thought you were going to lose badly. You've been riding that wave for a long time now.
Yep, still riding it. Yeah.
And I'm still riding, baby.
Okay. Are you riding a wave or riding a horse? Yes. What are you doing?
That's horse.
What
are you riding a wave? That's me riding.
You're about to fall off that wave.
Shaq is... Ali, your most prized possession.
I've never sipped in my life.
Exchange jersey. It's my first jersey with a national team.
So it's about you.
Well, the moment.
Well, that's someone that's not really answering the question.
What it meant to me. Well, because
the player of jersey exchanged after a match.
Well, I didn't exchange jerseys.
No.
Because there's a certain element of pride in representing your country.
Wow.
I didn't exchange jerseys.
Oh, wow.
And even today, when I see it happening, I get a little...
So you're not happy with Frank, the way that he did it, or Shaq?
Well, I'm not happy that Frank was happy to see either.
You want the musk.
Yeah, can I say something? I don't know, maybe we are richer than Venezuela, because we are two shirts. One for each half.
Yeah.
So I was keeping one and swapping another one. So I don't know if Ali played maybe in 1941 when they had only one shirt.
There's a lot of,
but we have two shirts.
There are a lot of friends and families that want a jersey at some point or another. So I
really?
Also have to give those away.
That's another story.
Well,
me, I'm very selfish.
I don't Ali with you.
Yeah, my group of friends is very select.
Germany, Gab, Germany, France, Portugal, Hungary are in the same group. Thoughts on the group in the Euros next year?
Germany, France, Portugal, and Hungary. Well, judging from Frank's comments earlier, I would assume he sees France and Portugal as heavy favorites, maybe
yes.
With a smattering of Germany thrown in there, and Hungary to go out. I mean, I think Hungary would obviously, on paper, be the Cinderella story here, even though they do have an Italian manager, which bodes well in major tournaments. But yeah. Having seen, though, unless Dominik Szoboszlai lives up to the hype in double quick time and continues to grow exponentially, I would imagine Hungary are making an early exit.
Have any of you guys been on any team that has had bad luck like Liverpool has so far? Salah, of course, with COVID, reports that Robertson could be in trouble with his hamstring as well. Shaka? Was Shaka
What's
even listening?
No,
missed a question.
I told you. He's already taking a break.
Shaka, this is live. What are you doing? What could you possibly be doing?
A throwing coach. Putting together a training session.
I was working as... I was working on the throat.
Where did you go?
Go find Isasuk, Sheriff.
Have you ever been on a team that's had the bad luck that Liverpool have
had? If I've ever played a team with that much bad luck,
yes.
I can't hear you, somebody.
You can't hear. Well, you just did hear me. You just heard the question. Right, next question. Oh, it's the Shaka, great.
No.
Shaka.
Really, we're going down that path again?
Which striker?
I'm listening, Dan.
Don't listen to me, it's my child. Shaka, which striker was the most powerful striker of the ball you ever faced?
Alan Shearer.
Frank?
Easy.
Me?
Oh. Yes, Frank.
I'm looking for George Weah.
Wow. George Weah. Mm. Okay.
Roberto Carlos.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. His calves are unbelievable. When I was at Real Madrid, his calves are bigger than me.
Roberto Carlos is a striker? Since when is a striker, oh, Roberto Carlos?
Striker of the ball, Frank.
No, it did say which striker.
No, you said which, which striker is the most powerful striker. I'm sorry, I don't speak very well English, but I can read it.
Roberto Carlos played up top, baby. You didn't see it?
Okay.
I saw it.
The oldest player ever play first division football anywhere in the world is Kazumura in Japan, 53 years old. He's still currently playing now in his 34th consecutive pro season. Who on the panel feels ready to lace up and try for that record?
Oh, I got this.
You play with your son, right? You play with your son's team. Right?
Yes, I do. I go on
just
train.
Just bully them.
Yes, I do. They don't feel great about it, but that's all right.
I would probably go you, Frank, Shaka.
No, Shaka is way down there.
Shaka, just once he falls over, he can't get back up again. We've seen that.
There are some difficulties there.
I have some hamstring issues. I have some hamstring issues. That's the only thing holding me back.
Final question. What are your views on increasing the number of countries in the World Cup?
No.
More the merrier, Ali.
No.
They might even let Venezuela in.
Hopefully, but no.
Gab, what are we going to see? 64 countries?
No.
Next?
I like the increase from 32 to 48. I don't think, as of right now, we should be going any higher than 48.
Frank?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to stop that. You know, it's not everybody. You know, kind of carnival of football. You know, it has to be something special, and we have to stop with the numbers. That's enough. More than enough.
Final word on this from Shaka. Wish us luck.
I think 32 was the right number. Stop there. Should have stopped there.
That's it. We are done. Thank you very much. The Maldini show. Definitely the highlights of Extra Time. We should have more memorabilia being shown, I think.
Are you going to thank Shaka as well?
What?
Are you going to thank Shaka as well?
Well, I think there'll be stern words with Shaka and his attitude wandering off halfway through. That is it. Thank you very much to everyone. We'll be back tomorrow for more of this. Until then, goodbye.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.